This morning's scripture reading comes from Colossians 3, 1 through 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Well, good morning. If you were to try to find the centerpiece of history, where were all things pointing towards and where are all things looking back to, it would be the cross. Jesus, his life, his death, and his resurrection, his ascension. And if you were to try to find the centerpiece of the Christian calendar, it would be today, Easter Sunday. And so today is a very big deal. We've got a packed house. This is really exciting. I want to welcome you. I also just want to say thank you to everyone who served in our Good Friday service just a few days ago. That was just a beautiful service. Our worship band, let's just give it up for everybody who served. Yeah. Yeah, we've got a lot going on today. It's a beautiful day. We're going to be celebrating God's work in the heart of some members of Fellowship Church and in some children of Fellowship Church. And so this is exciting. And if you're visiting with us, like Clay said, we're just really glad that you're here. We hope that you experience the warmth and the love of Jesus Christ as you worship with us and as you meet with us, interact with us. We're just really thankful you're here. Is anybody wearing something today against their will? I saw the cutest little outfit on this little girl this morning, and then the mom leaned over me and said she does not want to wear that. You know, it looks so adorable. I just love it. So, if that's you, thank you for putting up with your parents or spouse in some cases. I think that's wonderful. I have a message to share with you today. This message is for Christians who find themselves frantically running from one activity to the next. This sermon is for those who have a hard time focusing. If you had a busy morning, if you had a hard time focusing, you've been putting ovens at certain temperatures and predicting how long is this sermon going to go, so things will be ready when we're about to. Have you had a hard time focusing? It's for you. This sermon's for you today. This sermon is for those whose mind, when your mind is full of distractions. Do you feel distracted? This sermon is for people who get stuck in old ways of thinking, old ways of identifying, old ways of speaking negativity into their life and story. In other words, this sermon is for me. It's for me. And if you're like me, this message may be for you as well. If you haven't done so, I'd invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book, the letter of Colossians. It's towards, the end. It's in the New Testament, Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. God's word is just so rich, and there are just some timeless truths in this text that I want to bring to light this Resurrection Sunday. I'm going to read it again. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth, for you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Okay, there's a lot here. I want to go briefly through some of these precious truths. deep, timeless truths, things worth setting our minds on, things worth seeking. And the first truth I want to bring out to you, if you got a pen or you're taking notes, we observe that Jesus Christ is alive and seated at the right hand of God. Okay, do you see that? If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is. Okay, where is Christ? He's seated at the right hand of God. He's ruling, he's reigning, he is lifted up. Jesus Christ is alive. He is risen. Amen. Happy Easter. He is currently seated at the right hand of God. We are a church, along with millions of other Christians across this globe who believe, who hardly affirm that Jesus is the Christ, he's the Messiah, he's the King of Kings. He died once for all, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. He was buried in Joseph's tomb. And 3 days later, he literally rose physically, bodily from the dead. Death is defeated. Jesus reigns. Tell the world there is hope in his name. He ascended physically to the right hand of the Father. That's currently where he is seated. He's ruling, he's reigning, and he's interceding. Let's do a little trivia. I want to see if you guys, let's just see how this works. I'm going to say a statement, and I want you to say if it's true or if it's false, all right? And you know, if you're not a believer here, I'm so glad you're here. When I say if it's true or false, according to the just Orthodox Christianity throughout thousands of years, what it's been proclaiming, I want you to say if it's true or false, okay? Jesus Christ died. Okay, good. Jesus Christ rose from the dead 3 days later. Great. You are dead. I set you guys up. Look here. This is interesting. This is where we get into some tension, all right? Because it is true that you are alive right now if your heart is beating. But it is also true that you, if you are in Christ, have died. Paul says it right there. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So the second truth is this, that if you are in Christ, you have died and have been raised with him. Look, if then you have been raised with Christ. So there's that tension. Really smart people call this the already, not yet tension. And you can find it all over the New Testament especially. Like for example, Christians are saved. When you put your hope and your trust, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you repent of your sin, you are saved already. And at the same time, we Christians are looking forward to an ultimate salvation to come, right? In this text specifically, we're looking forward to that moment when we are raised to life. Jesus is the firstborn of the resurrection. We are to follow, but in a very real sense, we have already been raised. Look, if then you have been raised with Christ. This speaks to our union with Christ. This is a big, beautiful theological idea that's worth your attention. It's worth your mind's efforts. Christ's death, like we're going to be looking at this baptism symbol here that Christ instituted. When Christ died, that death was the believer's death. When you put your hope and your faith in Christ, you join Christ. You're united with him in his death. And when Jesus Christ rose from the dead, believers are united with him in his new life. His resurrection is ours. We are with Christ. In other words, this is beautiful and profound. There is an aboveness to our lives right now. there's an aboveness. I'm not sure if that's a word. I might have made it up. But do you get what I mean? There's an aboveness. We are here on earth. We are down here. But there is an aboveness. We are, in a very real sense, seated with Christ, where he is, ruling, reigning right now. There's an aboveness to our life. We've been raised with him. We are with Christ above. Third, there is a real beautiful reality in this text that we are as eternally alive now as Jesus Christ is. Do you see that in the text? Your life is hidden with Christ in God. Christ's life is our life. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. As long as Jesus Christ is alive, so are we. We just sang, because he lives, we can face the future. Because he lives, all fear is gone. We don't have to fear death. We don't have to fear the what ifs. If you guys may know this, we just had a family adventure. It was spring break for the Pelo family, and we flew out to Phoenix, Arizona. This was just last week. We flew out to Phoenix, Arizona, all seven of us, and we rented a 33-foot long RV. Okay, it's about 8 feet wide. It's essentially a rolling house. A house on wheels is what we did, all right? And this was fun. I had never done anything like this in the past and probably won't again in the future. But it was incredible. It was a wonderful experience. My favorite part of the whole trip, so we went to the Grand Canyon, and then we drove north up into the Zion National Park in Utah. If you guys have been there, you're like, wow. If you haven't been there, try to get there. It's an amazing spot. And then from Zion, we went to Bryce Canyon National Park. My favorite part of the whole trip was driving this rolling house on wheels from Zion, out of Zion, towards Bryce, because there were tunnels, there were cliffs, there were switchbacks. And if you could imagine some of the what ifs started coming to my mind and our kids' minds and my wife's mind, Emily. She would, bless her. You know, when you're in control of a giant rolling house, you have a little bit of control, right? But when you're in the passenger seat and you're looking over the edge like this, like she had to go back in the other room and get away from the giant window because the what ifs were rolling through her mind. But the point is this, because he lives, some of those what ifs, some of those fears, yeah, something could have happened to us, but because he lives, all fear is gone. Amen. There's an eternal quality to our lives right now, no matter what happens on this earth. Fourth, we will appear with Christ in glory. When Christ, it says right there, when Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So there's this reality, right, where there's an eternal quality to our lives right now if we're in Christ. Our life is hidden with Christ in God, but my left knee is crying out for redemption. You guys have lower backs that are groaning along with creation for redemption. We are passing away. Our bodies, our minds are passing away, but death is not the end for us, because when Christ, who is your life, appears, we will also appear with him in glory. That means we'll have glory as a characteristic of our immaterial and our material parts. We'll have a glorified body. And I just really enjoyed this kind of mental exercise this week of thinking about having not just a glorified body in the new heavens and new earth, but a glorified mind. Just think about that. I hadn't thought about that a whole lot. There are ways that I've dug these kind of ruts of thinking into my own story and into just how I think about myself and situations and circumstances. God is going to give me a glorified body and a glorified mind. He's going to do the same thing for you. It's a beautiful idea. So we are passing away, but death is not the end for us. We will all be resurrected. Those of us who are in Christ, Paul says, will appear with him in glory. In other words, I am not looking at a group of people who are just going to rot in a grave. I am looking out at a group of men and women who will one day be glorified kings and queens in a new heaven and new earth, ruling alongside Jesus. Your bodies will be glorified. Your material parts will be glorified. Your immaterial parts will be glorified. They'll be restored to their truest form forever. Restored. Royalty. Glorious. I want us to focus our attention on one application of this text with the time that we've got remaining. Because of the resurrection, okay, because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, your old life and former way of thinking is dead and gone. And Christ offers you a new vision and a new mindset. Do you see it there in the text? He says this, seek the things that are above. Seek. How do you seek? You use your eyes. Seek the things that are above. Not here, up there, above. There's an aboveness to our lives right now. There's also an aboveness to our seeing. And secondly, set your minds on things that are above. What do you do with your mind? You think, you fill it with thoughts. And there is a very real way that our thinking is about here and now. Our relationships, our circumstances, but Paul calls us up to an aboveness to our way of thinking. Well, what does it mean? Let's get this right. What does it mean for the mind to be set on things that are above? Because I think if we get this, if we get a sense of what this means, it can change everything. Some of you know that I enjoy the sport golf. Yeah, thank you for that. There was a really great golfer. He may have had the best swing of all time. His name was Bobby Jones. And Bobby Jones famously said this. He said, golf is a game that is played on a 5-inch course. The distance between your ears. And he was right. Because if you want to play excellent golf, you've got to think. You've got to manage the mishits. You've got to make good decisions. The wind, the lie, the firmness of the green. Am I boring some of you, but really interesting others? Yeah, if you love golf, you're like, yes, I get this. You've got to calculate the risk versus the reward. You've got a par five that you can maybe go at in two, but you're into the wind, and if I go, there's a hazard here. It's you've got to think about these things. You may think that golf is played at Persimmon Ridge Golf Club or Valhalla or Augusta National, but it's actually a game played in the 5 inches between your ears. So it is with the Christian life. What you set your mind on means everything. It's not just enough to do the right things, to come to church on Sunday, to serve in this way or that, to do. But the Christian life is played on a 5-inch course, the distance between your ears. What we set our minds on really and truly matters. So this Easter, today, church, I want to invite you to have a resurrection mindset. A resurrection mindset. He says, seek the things that are above, set your mind on the things that are above. And we live in a culture that makes thinking deeply about things more and more difficult, don't we? I mentioned distractions earlier. Going from one activity to the next, bobbing and weaving through traffic, distracted. There are some things about our culture specifically I'm just going to pick on. There are a bunch of others, but just consider social media. Social media has spent billions of dollars trying to do one thing, distract you, to get your attention. It literally has. You can look this up. The amount of advertisements we get on social media, the way they try to find exactly what we're interested in and put that right in front of our face to distract us. They've spent billions finding ways to figure out our hobbies, our interests, based on our internet activity. And they found a way to mine right into our very hearts. We've taken the bait and we are hooked. Social media is built to take our money, but more importantly, it takes our vision and our mind off things that really matter. When you wake up in the morning, is it your habit to go to the truth of the gospel or to the distractions of YouTube? Let's just think about the news, for example. News is literally built around creating fear in you, so you'll be afraid and you'll want to watch more. Do you want to know why you don't see a lot of good news on the news? It's because it doesn't sell. But an economic crash, inflation, political drama, fear sells. Video games are designed to immerse image bearers of God into a false reality where they are the heroes and deep thinking about things that really matter becomes nearly impossible. So I'm picking on some things, and obviously I've got some thoughts on these things. I'm not saying these things are bad in and of themselves, but what I am saying is that very smart people who are interested in making money build things like these things to take our minds and to put them on them instead of things that really matter. And if we listen to the voice of the world, we will be deaf to the voice of truth. If we set our minds and eyes on the things of this world, we will be blind to the things seen above. If we fill our minds with the thoughts of this world, there won't be any room for the thoughts of God. Paul calls all Christians in earshot of his voice to evaluate what is coming into their vision and what is coming into their minds. Church, seek the things that are above. Seek the things that are up there in heaven. Set your mind on them. You were made to be more than a shallow thinking consumer. You were made to rule the world. So what does it mean? I'm just gonna give a few applications here as we close. What does it look like to have a resurrection mindset? I want to invite you to have this resurrection mindset, to set your mind on things that are above. How? What does that even look like? Just give you a few ideas. First off, one, begin your day in heaven. Begin your day in heaven. There was a guy who got this right. His name was Robert Murray McShane. And he described his morning devotions like this. He said his morning devotions were like, quote, giving the eye the habit of looking upward all the day. I love that. Give your eyes the habit of looking upward all the day. The reality is this, that our thoughts won't drift towards heaven, towards the aboveness of our lives in the afternoon or in the evening unless we start there in the morning. Later in this very text in Colossians 3, Paul says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Begin your day in heaven. Number two, own what enters your mind throughout the day. Own what enters your mind throughout the day. I believe many of us have allowed, and I'm so guilty of this. I'm working on it. This is something that I've been sharing with my pastors and the staff guys and Lydia and my community group. But I believe many of us, myself included, have allowed others to dictate what we think about. What would it look like to be a church filled with people who relentlessly eliminate distractions and unhelpful ways of seeing and thinking? What would that look like? And so the question is this: what have you allowed to take up space in your vision and in your thinking that is not serving you, that is not helpful, that's actually not helpful at all to this resurrection mindset? Thirdly, create time and space to think deeply about Christ. This looks like asking and answering deep and meaningful questions. This could look like so many different things. But for me, it looks like this: taking my laptop and taking my phone and literally putting them in another room because they can really distract me. And it looks like a Bible and a pen and a piece of paper or a journal. Create time and space to think deeply about Christ. Like, here's an interesting thing that you could just have a piece of paper today and just think deeply about. This text talks about things that are hidden and things that will appear. Our life is hidden with Christ in God. In other ways, like, if you were to look at me, it might not look like my life is hidden with Christ where he is. It's hidden. It's something that we can't see with our eyes, but we know it's true. Well, what are the things that are true about you, about the believer, that is hidden but very, very true? Just take a pen and write it out. Take a journal page and reflect. Create time and space to think deeply about Christ. Another way you could do this is when you read scripture, don't merely read it, but find something that you read and write that phrase out and just stick it in your pocket, okay? I can't tell you how many times I've got this Bible reading plan, and most of the time I really enjoy it. Other times it's a challenge because I'm in this section of Ezekiel that just is really challenging for me. But I can't tell you how many times I go away from my daily Bible reading and I can't remember what I read. I don't know if you've felt like that or experienced that. But find something in that text that gets your attention that you want to think about throughout the day and just write it. Could be a phrase, could be three words, could be one word, could be a sentence. Set your minds on things that are above. And finally, I want to encourage you to align your thinking with who you really are. Align your thinking with who you really are. It's so easy for me to forget the gospel. It's so easy for me to take my eyes off of Jesus. For example, it's very easy for me to think that I am the sum of my bad decisions. It's easy for me to think that I am the culmination of my sins. Brother and sister, if you're in Christ, you're not the sum of your bad decisions. Your sin does not define you. You're also not the victim of someone else's actions. You have to go through your life thinking like things are being done to me, and because of that, I have no hope, or I can't do this, I can't do that. You are not the victim of someone else's actions. Your broken relationship, it doesn't have to define you. Let's think about who we are and align our thinking with who we really are. We are royalty. We're brothers and sisters of King Jesus. That means we are royalty. We are seated with Christ. We are conquerors. If we could see ourselves how Jesus sees us, beloved, risen, alive, glorified, strong, we are overcomers. Church, we may not feel like victorious, forgiven children of the King, but we are. And because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, we will appear with him in glory. Amen. Finally, you may be here and, you know, I've mentioned, like, if you're in Christ, if you've put your hope in Christ, if you've repented of your sin, the union with Christ that you can experience, all these realities are true of you. I just want to acknowledge in a group this size, there may be people, and there likely are people, who have not placed their hope, placed their faith, who have not banked on Jesus in this way, and therefore these realities aren't true of them yet. If you want to follow Jesus, if you want to repent of your sin, if you want to say, hey, I've been setting my mind on all these things here, and I want to set my mind on things that are above. I want to be united with Christ. If that's you today, I want to invite you to follow Jesus. I want to invite you to repent of your sin, to place your hope and your trust, to see him as your king. Say, I want to follow you. God's word says that when we do that, we are forgiven. We are a new creation. We have hope. We have new eternal life. So I want to invite you to do that. If you want to talk to somebody about that decision, I'd love to talk with you today about that. I'll be up here right after the service. So please come see me. If you came with a friend or a family member, you know, talk to them about that. They'd love to share their hope in King Jesus with you. But that's where I want to land. Let's pray and let's move into this time of worship and baptisms. God, we thank you for your word. We see it as beautiful. We thank you for the resurrection that is the highlight of history and the highlight of our year. We pray, God, that you would empower us through your Holy Spirit to think deeply, to set our minds on the things that are above. That we would eliminate distractions, that we would not let other people decide what we think about, but that we would take our minds and be proactive with what comes in them. That we would be a people who love your word, and that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. It'd be like the word of Christ would just be like a home. Our minds would be like a home for the word of Christ. There'd be an aboveness to our way of living and our way of thinking and our way of seeing. God, we pray that if there's anyone here who has not made the decision to follow King Jesus, that they would make that decision today. That there would be an aboveness to their life starting now through the truths of the gospel as they embrace them. We thank you for what you're about to do in this space. I pray that today would be a celebration of celebrations, that we would lift our hearts and we would lift our eyes and we'd lift our minds and we'd lift our voices to heaven, and we would praise and we would just rest and we'd eat and we'd drink to the glory of God and to the glory of the truths that we see in this beautiful text. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.